Well, the first author is my student, Ubuntu Silva, and the other authors are from Johns Hopkins, Josh Atkins, and Jim West. So the idea is that we use hearing and touch to convey graphical and pictorial information. So the interaction here is it's more of a translation between video and audio, and we're using touch as the pointing device, as you'll see. So the idea is to be able to either display information or maybe eventually use it for navigation. And a key thing is that the user explores with the finger a visual layout. Of course, if you want to give visual information to people who are visually impaired, our main target is visually impaired. I mean, there are really invasive procedures like visual prosthesis. You insert a chip in the retina. That's, you know, quite invasive. There are less invasive but still not too pleasant approaches, like the tank display, for example, where you insert a chip on the tank and that stimulates the tank according to some visual input. Okay, and there are other modes for doing this, like raised line drawings, for example, and there has been some studies on those. Of course, our results can also benefit sighted people in cases where there is no light, firefighter operations in smoke, military missions at night, and so on. So a little bit of history, how we arrived at this. One of our goals has been to translate visual to tactile initially. So we have an image, we segment it. I guess I have a pointer here. We have an image which we segment, and then we represent each segment by different tactile texture, and it's important to have perceptually distinct tactile textures. So one thought was, and several people have suggested this, that to enhance the differences between the tactile textures, you may want to add some different sounds, okay? And that would work very well if you have a display that can both modify the surface and acoustic feedback as a result of touching the surface. But existing displays really cannot do that. I mean, we have iPads and iTouches and all sorts of devices, tablets, okay, that they can respond with audio to touch, but they cannot change the surface. So we thought it would be interesting to drop the tactile display, use touch just as the pointing device, and use the audio as the display. So the idea is a very simple idea. We simplify very simple shapes. Okay, and again, as you explore with your finger, you hear different sounds as you move into different shapes, and you can try to identify the shapes as you trace them. Okay, so and of course, it's you're moving your finger and you're hearing the audio, and how you're moving your finger is what really gives you the information. So that's the kinesthetic feedback. So just to give you an idea of how this works, one of our configurations. You have a sound for the background, so wait, I need, is this, can you hear this? Okay, and then you have a completely distinct sound for the inside the object. So as you move your finger, you hear the different sounds and you form an opinion of what the object looks like. Now, we chose to have one sound inside, one sound outside, because there is evidence in the literature that it's easier from tactile perception, that a raised line drawing is more difficult to perceive than if you have a solid object. So we tried to do the same in sound, but what we found is it's important for people to identify the object when they're inside the object, but they also try to trace the border. So probably we concluded that probably we need a combination of both. So then we tried another configuration where we have one sound inside, one outside, and a distinct sound for the border. So it's the same sounds here, okay, but and inside the other, but oops, I have to. But then you have a very different sound for the background, for the border, and then the sound that you heard before for the interior. So you have three distinct constant sounds. Now, there is a problem with tracing the boundary in that if you make the boundary too narrow, your finger can slip outside and it's kind of annoying going on and off the boundary. If you make it too broad, then you don't necessarily follow the boundary, so you might follow another trajectory and you may get the wrong perception about what the boundary looks like. So we thought that we needed some proximity feedback inside the border, okay? And for that, we tried to use tremolo sounds. So tremolo is described, it's a low-frequency AM. It's described by depth and rate parameter, and we use those two to define the object. And then we change the carrier frequency to show how far we are, a proximity when we're near the border. So just to show you the picture, okay? So before I show you the more detail, again, there are two major segments, but each segment has a border region, and yellow is the border between the inside and the outside, and the FR is constant in each segment, but increases as the finger approaches the boundary, and here is how it varies. So we have one sound for the inside, okay? We have another sound for the outside. Can you hear this? And then we have different sound at the border, for example, like this, and if I play the entire thing, it's constant, the FR, and then increases when you are on the border, and then decreases, and then eventually it's constant again. Now, there was a problem with this, and the problem is, in principle it's fine, but in practice, the inside and outside sounds are not very easy to differentiate. They're not as perceptually distinct as the other signals we tried. And also the tremolo rate, depending on how you move your finger, may change too fast in the small area to be noticeable. So this didn't quite work very well. Well, the next step was to use directional sound. So we wanted to use directional acoustic feedback in the background. For example, when your finger is down here, the sound, you can hear the sound coming from the object and forces you to move in that direction. And also, when you trace the boundary, the sound guides you to move in a direction to follow the boundary in a clockwise fashion. Now, to do this, okay, we had, again, three segments, background, foreground, and border. But now, the inside was still constant, but the outside is the one that was directional. So, I don't know if you should hear this from one side, from this side, I hope. And then when you are on the border, you hear the border sound, but again, in the direction that you're supposed to move, okay? In a practical situation, you have headphones, and the sound comes from the right side, and we wanted to realistically simulate the idea of if your finger is over there, to have the sound coming from the object, or if you are here to be coming from the object, and as you approach the object, the sound becomes louder, and we wanted to simulate a realistic case where there is a sound source maybe in the corner of the object, and as your finger approaches, you hear what you would have heard if you were standing there and listening to the object. Okay, so for this, the mathematical formulation that you need for this is what is called the head-related transfer function to render the directionality, and then you play back with stereo headphones. Okay? Now, again, as I said, the listener is assumed to be in the position of your finger, so you are virtually there as on the screen, okay? And then you hear the sounds coming from the appropriate direction. Okay, again, if you're in the background from closest point in the object, and when you're on the border from the direction in which you need to move. Finally, we tried, this was identifying an object shape, but you're also interested in an overall layout, and if you to test this idea if we have a very simple layout, but you can imagine you are standing at the window, and you are looking at the buildings across the street, and to borrowed from the blind examples. Typically a blind person will have a stick and try to explore the environment in front of them, but imagine this being a virtual stick that you tap at the objects on the across the street, and you explore what's there, okay? So if this is a tree, let's say, in a very simplified, you may have a sound of wood, and this may be a glass house, okay? So we're simplifying things. Okay, so you may have another sound, and this may be, one is metal, anyway, it's different sounds. I think I confused them here. Okay, so now the sound here conveys the something about the object, and also you get an idea of the layout. So we're not quite interested in the shape here. If you need to explore the shape, maybe you have another mode where you zoom in and you apply what we discussed before. But this can give you a nice idea of what the layout is, okay? And you don't have to be realistic with the sounds. Even though you are scanning with your finger, I mean, we can pretend that you are tapping with a stick, and you can have very distinct sounds. Whereas if you rub different objects with your finger, maybe you'll get almost the same sound or no sound at all. So we don't have to be realistic. Okay, now a few words about our experiments. We used test subjects and the five configurations. I mean, I have the details if you, and they're in the paper if you want to look them up. We used an iPad touchscreen for our demonstrations, and I have one with me if you want to play with it after the session, and use stereo headphones. And now, it was very important how we ran the experiment. So first, we gave instructions to the subjects, but we gave them no information about what objects they're going to be looking at. And actually, even during the experiment, if they were guessing one object, we really did not make it clear that the same object might appear again. So they really did not have any idea of what they're exploring. The only thing maybe was that they're relatively simple objects. And we used the training example to make them comfortable with this. We did not want them to be blindfolded, okay? Well, actually, you could say I have a screen that has nothing on it, but even if you watch your finger, that's visual feedback. So we wanted to eliminate the visual feedback because we're assuming a case where you cannot see. So what we did is we put the touch screen under a box so they could not see the touch screen or the finger. But we didn't want to, I mean, it's typical, I guess, in this type of experiments. You don't want to blindfold people because that's not a very comfortable thing. So the most natural thing is to have the iPad under a box, and then you have eye contact. The experimenter has eye contact with the subject, and then they try to explore. But to explain to them what's happening, first they tried it by looking at the shape and the finger and exploring. Then we turn off the visual signal, the triangle or the cross in this case. Okay, and they could see only the finger, and finally they went to the real situation where they could not see the finger or the object. Okay, of course we used a different object for training than for the testing. Actually, we used a cross for the training and a square, a circle, and a triangle for the testing. Okay, And here are some details about the fourth configuration, basically what kind of HRTF we used. And we had, I mean, with HRTFs, it's important to match it to the specific characteristics of the user. We had a very simple configuration where there are two possibilities, and you could calibrate to one or the other. But of course, in a critical situation, you might have an individual HRTF for the particular user, and that is expected to work better. So now at the end of the experiment, we did not immediately ask them to tell us what shape it is, but again, learning from the literature and the work of Winches at Delft, actually this was done at Utrecht, his work, we asked them to first trace the shape, okay, with a pen on paper, and then ask them, what do you think this shape is? And that worked better, much better for them, okay, because it helps you realize what you have felt. Okay? So, again, we did not give the subjects any feedback until all the experiment was complete. Now, here are the results. Okay? In the first configuration, the simple configuration with object and background, we got 67% right. In the second configuration where we added the border, we got 77%, so there was significant improvement. The tremolo really didn't help. We reverted back to lower rate. And finally, directional sound had a big impact. It increased it to 83%. The catch, of course, is here it wasn't a very immediate effect. It took like 3 to 4 minutes to be able to identify a shape. But our hope is that these subjects were not trained, and as you train subjects, especially visually impaired subjects who depend critically on doing this, that will become much, much faster. Okay? Again, our goal was, what can we do with sound only? Obviously, you can combine with touch, tactile signals when the devices are available, and then you can improve more. But I think it's a very interesting experiment to see what are the limits of using only sound as the display. Finally, for the scene layout, this was what we used as a training scene, and this was the actual testing scene. And we asked the subjects to indicate the relative positions, the shapes, but they couldn't tell much about the shapes because they were not as, you know, detailed as the individual ones, and the material that they were made of. And that worked quite well. They were able to identify the materials quite reliably. There was some confusion between glass and metal and glass. Okay, and of course this was like our first try. If you record the sounds more carefully or pick different sounds, you can do even better. So, we presented an approach for conveying graphical and pictorial information by hearing and touch. The subjects were able to identify basic geometric shapes, okay? And compared to other approaches, I didn't go into details of existing approaches, we had some significantly better performance. We also tried the virtual cane approach, where it's a basic scene perception and subjects are able to locate and identify objects. And again, potential applications are map perception and navigation. And of course, the ultimate goal is to combine with touch and use the best of each modality to do the best in conveying the visual information. Thank you very much.
I suggest the presenter to start, of the next paper, to start doing the job, and now we can have some questions for Trasus. Do you have any question from the audience on this topic?